The kids are welcome to follow Miss Tracy to Children's Church. For the rest of you, we're going to lock the doors in the back. Let's pray. God, we're thankful to be in your presence today. God, it's good. It's good to be among friends and family, the body of Christ, gathered together to remember that we are indeed your body, that you, our Lord Jesus, are our head. And God, we ask that you will speak to us through your word, through the old, old story, as we approach your word together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations and the thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to jump right into the text this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, as recorded in Scripture. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? This is the word of the Lord. Well, this is the sixth Sunday of Easter and the fifth Sunday in our series talking about the significance of the table. And I like this line in the scripture reading today. I speak to sensible people. That's to make me chuckle. You guys are sensible people, right? Amen. That's right. There's one, especially sensible guy over there. One of the most important signifiers of the table, one of the things that it reminds us of is the fact that we are all in Christ. And I just want to take a look at that theme today and spend some time on it, because the New Testament spends a lot of time on it. This phrase, in Christ, is the Greek en Christo. You don't have to say it, but it's just en Christo. And it's used 164 times in the Greek New Testament. In Christ. This phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And most often it's talking about the people of God being in Christ, called to be in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This idea of being in Christ is hugely, hugely important in the New Testament. And one of the ways that we celebrate, and one of the ways that we become, and one of the ways that we remember that we are in Christ is at the table. And that's why we're taking a look at this passage today. So this idea of being in Christ could mean a lot of things, because they're two simple words, but what does it mean to actually be in Christ? Is Christ this world or this building, and somehow we are all sitting in it? Is it a physical thing? Probably not. But what does it mean to be in Christ? So we're going to take a look at like six different possibilities of what it means. And I would say that when the scriptures talk about being in Christ, it incorporates all six of these and probably even more. But the first one I want to talk about is being in Christ as being identified with Christ. To identify with Christ. That is, in my life, when I walk around, I'm not just myself. Yes, I am Andrew. Yes, I'm a pastor. But fundamentally, at my core, I am identified with Christ. That who I am is rooted in Christ. It's part and parcel of my identity. Next thing. Allegiance. Allegiance to Christ. That means that whatever other allegiances I may declare in my life, first and foremost, above anything, is my allegiance to Christ. And this may be controversial to say, but it goes above and beyond our allegiance to our families. It goes above and beyond our allegiance to our country. It goes above and beyond our allegiance to all sorts of things. And that's not to say your allegiance to a particular church or a particular idea about Christ, but your actual allegiance to the person of Jesus Christ has to be number one. I mean, Jesus said some pretty scary things. Whoever does not hate their mother and father, their brother and sister, and follow me, doesn't enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's some seriously weird stuff to say, which makes some people just walk away. But when he says, hey, I mean, he's talking about allegiance. What Jesus is saying when he says those things is he's talking about, I have to be at the center to be in Christ. That's your primary allegiance. Now, that's something that is constantly in conflict. We're constantly being challenged to have allegiances deeper to other things than Jesus. First and foremost, probably our allegiance to ourselves and our level of comfort, right? I mean, that's right. That's our primary allegiance often, but allegiance to Christ is what it means to be in Christ. To be attached to Christ is the third one. What does it mean to actually be attached to Christ in some sort of significant way? Similar to the identity thing, but when I walk around in this world, I am not alone. I am attached in some very significant way to Jesus. Said, we confess in the church that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is alive and at work within us, attached to us. And when we come here and we gather as a body, scary, wait for it, you're attached to one another. Christ is the head and we are the body. We are attached to one another in Christ. That can be scary too. But we are attached to Christ. That's one of the meanings of being in Christ. We are bound to Christ. It's sort of another way of saying attached, but it's also maybe a little bit more forceful to be bound to Christ. And sometimes, whether we like it or not. Can you think of moments in your life when you maybe have not wanted to be bound to Christ? Hopefully the times when we've really wanted to be bound to Christ outweigh the moments where we wish we could cut ties and say, and do whatever we want. But being bound to Christ, that's a deep, deep thing. We are a stakeholder in Christ. So somehow, the body of Christ is this thing that we all invest in, right? And so in Christ, you and I are stakeholders in the body of Christ and in the mission of Christ and in the kingdom of God advancing in this world. We are not only participants in, but we are like part owners. I mean, that we actually have a stake in what happens in this world, that Jesus has invited us to participate in such a way that we have ownership. He calls us his disciples. He calls us his friends. His children, all these very relational terms that give us some level of authority. And then the last one is to be participants in Christ. And that's the term that comes up the most in the passage that we read today, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ, and is not the bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ. We somehow participate in Christ. And somehow that comes to a head at the table. This idea of participating in whatever Christ is doing in some mysterious way happens at the table. We gather, we take bread, and we take a cup, and we participate in Christ in some significant way. Okay, that's all well and good. A bit ethereal, a bit otherworldly. So I want to bring all of these ideas into the world in which we live. What does it look like to identify, attach, be bound, participate in, and all that stuff in the world in which we live in? I'm just going to give one example for each of these. You could probably come up with better ones and a whole lot more. But in the world, the first one we looked at was identifying with Christ. What does it look like to identify with something in this world? And I don't know how many of you were watching America's Next Top Restaurant. I think that was what it was called. It was on NBC not too long ago. Anybody? Zero people. Okay, Sunday nights. It was a reality show. These people had ideas for restaurants, okay? And everybody had an idea for a restaurant. It was a competition. They eliminated people one by one until these really, really rich investors decided to invest in one particular restaurant. And one of those investors was the founder of Chipotle. And every single time he opened his mouth, he mentioned that he was the founder of Chipotle. Now, if you were watching the show every week, it got a little bit over the top. When I founded Chipotle, I mean, every single sentence, every piece of advice that he gave to somebody was prefaced with Chipotle, 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 Chipotle. So like when I look at this guy, I just hear the word Chipotle. This guy is more than willing to identify himself with Chipotle. It's his baby. He's super, super proud of it. And if you ever see the guy, I should have put his picture up and you would know. He is like Mr. Chipotle. Every single piece of advice, every single thought that he has lives and breathes and bleeds Chipotle. If you had seen the show, you would know what I was talking about, but I could be making all this up and none of you would know, but I'm not. But we are often very willing to identify ourselves with a particular piece of our identity, are we not? We are very proud of certain things, whether it's that we're a fan of a particular team or, you know, whatever it is, we identify. Okay, next one, allegiance. I already mentioned this, but allegiance, when I was a kid growing up in school, I mean, we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. Allegiance is a word that is very nationalistic, right? I mean, we very often, when we hear the word allegiance, the first thing we think of is our country. And I'm not trying to say that, like, allegiance to country and allegiance to God are always, like, completely separate categories, mutually exclusive. But I'm also not saying that they're the same. Allegiance. People are willing to lay down their lives for their country, are they not? And they do it all the time. And Christ's call is for us to lay down our lives for Jesus. Although it's not quite as easy to see what it looks like to lay down your life for Jesus. You know, it's not like something you enlist in and then you just follow orders, because the church isn't quite as, well, at least not our church anyway, isn't quite as authoritarian of a structure where we just give. I mean, I don't stand up here and give you marching orders and you do as I say. We rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us how to lay down our lives. So it's not the same thing, but allegiance in this world looks often like submitting yourself to a particular person, a particular ideology, a particular authority, and doing as you are told. And that's quite often what allegiance looks like. Attachment, that's the third one. Attachment. We are, I can't get this to work. Okay. Attached often to a particular franchise, and I use the word franchise because, well, I already mentioned Chipotle. I mean, you can be attached to a particular brand of beverage. You can be attached to a particular sports franchise. You can be attached to a particular franchise of books or films. Like, something comes out with a certain person's name on it, you will purchase it immediately and you will consume it at the nearest time possible, right? I mean, we can be utterly faithful and attached to all sorts of things, all sorts of franchises in our world. Some of these things lead to, like, addictions, like I'm addicted to McDonald's French fries or something, you know. But we attach ourselves to things because it's good. It's good to have, like, a comforting friend that you know, like, something else is going to come out in a couple years, right? I read this book, but I know that this author is going to keep writing books. So, you know, in the next 6 months, I'll get another book to read, and they'll be my constant companion. So we attach ourselves to these ideas, to these people, to these things, and that is often what it looks like in our daily lives. Bound. I am a Chicago Cubs fan. They have support groups for this sort of thing. Yeah, that's true. 103 years without a World Series. Not much to be proud of in between those 103 years. I mean, there's been some good years, some moments of excitement, but you know, growing up in the Chicagoland area, growing up a Cubs fan, I mean, you get bound to it in some sort of weird way that you can't let go. There's no way you could just not be a Cubs fan. And there's a bit of pride in the fact that we have the longest stretch in professional sports of never having a championship, right? I mean, there's a bit of pride there. But, you know, we would be pretty happy if that stretch were to end one day, eventually. But, you know, those things that you're just bound to, you feel like you could never, ever let go of them, even, you know, if you tried. I guess if I really had to, I could let go of the Cubs. If Jesus made me do it, I would. But I think being a Cubs fan teaches me a lot about discipleship, personally. But that's a whole other story. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You know, Jesus' kingdom principles. But we are often bound to things. Two more. Stakeholder. Now, I don't like using this example because, as a Cubs fan, I'm also a Bears fan. But as far as I know, in professional sports, there is only one publicly owned sporting franchise, and that is the Green Bay Packers. They are owned by the city of Green Bay. The people are all part owners. If you want to get tickets to a Packers game, it's almost impossible. If you want to get season tickets to a Packers game, you get on the waiting list when you're born, the day you're born, and maybe by the time you're 60, you'll get some season tickets. And that's serious. I have friends from Wisconsin who were born and added onto that waiting list and, you know, are in their 30s and they're like number 2,000. And like, how often does a set of... So anyway, sorry. But a stakeholder. The people and the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl this past year. And I think it's especially sweet for them because they got to beat the Bears on the way, which hurt me. But because they are actual stakeholders. They actually are part owners of the team. And they are owners of this franchise. It's an exciting, exciting thing for them. And we don't have to have financial investment in teams to be stakeholders in them. But they do. And then a participant in. To participate in something. We all know about this. And I have a lot of participation ribbons for races. Because any race I've ever run, I have never placed in the top 25, top 10, top 50, or whatever, where you actually get a number on your ribbon or on your medal. Every single ribbon that I have from a race that I have run has said participant on it, right? But there's something about participating at a race, you know, it doesn't, for me, I've just sort of resigned myself to the fact that I'm never going to be really good at running races. But I do them to keep in shape. And to just be a participant is a good thing. To be a part of that cloud of people that all gather at this starting point and for some odd reason decide they're going to run a bunch of miles together. It's participating in something, something good, something big, something huge. And you can be proud to participate. Okay. In our lives, it's up to each of us to sort of connect the dots. What it means to be in Christ, what it means to have our identity in Christ, what it means to have our allegiance to Christ, to be attached to Christ, to be bound to Christ, to be stakeholders in Christ, to be participants in Christ. We figure this stuff out as we go along the way, and sometimes when we refer to the things that we have allegiance to outside of Christ, we refer to things that we are bound to, things that we identify with, and sometimes it teaches us. If we pay attention to those things, they teach us how to follow Christ better. And I really don't want this to be like an either-or proposition, like either you are a Chicago Cubs fan or you follow Christ. Either you are a Detroit Tigers fan or you follow Christ. Either you are a patriotic American or you follow Christ. I think that there's a lot of room for overlap here, but I want us all to open our eyes to the realities that the ways in which we attach ourselves, the way in which we devote ourselves to certain things in our lives can teach us how to follow Christ better. The ways our emotions get involved, the ways that our whole very being is affected when certain things happen, that can teach us how to draw our emotions and our whole very being further and deeper into our relationship with Christ. These are very important things. And what I believe 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 18 is all about is this very idea that at the table we affirm our identity, allegiance, attachment, and bondage to Christ as stakeholders and participants in his body and blood. That one of the primary ways that we as a church, that we as the people of God, learn what it is to be in Christ is when we come to a table and we take a piece of bread and we know that the person before us and the person after us also took a piece of bread from that same loaf, that we are one body. We dip it in a cup that is in some way a participation in the blood of Christ. And we all eat and we all share together, and that somehow this makes us the body of Christ, that this somehow draws us deeper to Christ, that somehow in the breaking of the bread we recognize Jesus and all these things. It's about declaring our attachment, our allegiance, our boundedness to our Lord Jesus. But it's not all about us, is it? When we come to the table, first and foremost, we come to receive grace. We are not in Christ because we are awesome and we just decided one day that we wanted to be in Christ. We are only in Christ because Christ has offered his very self to us. That he's continually offering his self to us. Offering his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy. And that in Christ, we find life. In Christ, we find peace. In Christ, we find love, compassion, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. In Christ, we find more than we could have ever imagined. That's why it's worth identifying with him. It's worth attaching ourselves to him. It's worth giving our undivided allegiance, our bondage, our stakes, and our participation to him, because he is Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Another day that we've been invited to follow you. Another day that we've been invited to your table to receive grace, to receive life, to participate in your work in this world. And God, we ask that you will work in our hearts. Show us those ways in which we've put other things ahead of you, which we've valued other things more than we value you. And God, use those things to teach us how to draw nearer to you. Use those things that have hold of certain parts of our hearts to teach us how to love you more and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God, thank you for this day, for this meal, for this love poured out. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.